Adam.
Hi there, Mr. John.
It's good to see you again and to see you so well after your illness before Christmas. So it's good to have you all well and with us and full of life.
Yeah.
These little interviews are for you to talk about whatever you fancy about yourself, but they're times for you to share some interesting information, a little bit of background gossip, because we all want to nose into other people's lives. So that's my chance this morning to be nosy with you. So tell me, Adam, you were born in Zimbabwe. Tell me what childhood was like for you in Zimbabwe. What was it like to be a child?
Yeah. So to be a child for me, there are a variety of experiences of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Because my early childhood was spent, I sort of lived a town life, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Because my father was then employed as an army officer until his retirement. So my early childhood, I was in town.
Right.
Where, obviously, as my father, by the nature of his job, he would move from, you know, these soldiers, they move from
place to place.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I never used to understand what home was like, because mm-hmm. I had a challenge of home which kept moving.
Right.
Because I had my primary education was actually in three different schools.
Right.
Because of the nature of my father's job.
Mm-hmm.
We had to move. So for me, I had that experience where home kept moving. So it meant people around me obviously also changed.
Mm-hmm.
It meant different schools, different teachers, different friends. So different surroundings, different communities,
mm-hmm.
which also impacted on my experience, if that makes
yes,
sense to you.
It does indeed.
Yes.
So you traveled around through your childhood. Were you a good child? Were you well behaved?
That's a very...
Nobody's watching,
yeah,
so you
yeah,
can just
yeah.
tell me.
That's a very good, yeah. I would say, if I were to be honest with myself, I wouldn't describe myself as a very troublesome, you know, child in my childhood. I wasn't all that much.
I'm glad
yeah.
to hear it.
I wasn't a very troublesome
yeah.
child, no.
No.
Because I remember one time, it was the Christmas time, because we were eight of us in the family. Eight.
Eight.
Yeah, siblings. Yeah. So Christmas time, my mom said there were some, you know, nice treats, cookies and things. So she entrusted me, I remember that very well, uh-huh. to give me the key where of the drawer, you know, the cupboard where she had,
yeah.
you know, locked away the
cookies
that were saved for Christmas Day.
Oh.
She said, Adam, keep this key so that none of your siblings would find it and
right.
intrude. So I said yeah. to myself, I remember that, say, oh, what was that? What was that for me?
And did you? And you didn't give in and let them have the cookies, did you?
No,
it wasn't the reverse Adam and Eve story.
No,
yeah.
I was good. I was
you
good.
Were good. Oh, well
yes.
done. Well,
yeah.
I'd have given the cookies. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Good.
Yeah.
So the eight of you. Where were you in the eight? Were you middle, younger, older?
So I'm the fourth boy in the
right.
family.
Mm-hmm.
And then after me comes the girls.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll be the last boy.
Okay.
Yes, I've got elder brothers, and I'm the younger boy.
That was
then
an elderly.
After me,
that was
girls.
An organised way of doing it, wasn't it? You have
yeah.
four boys, then you have four girls.
Yeah.
That's yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So you left. You got a little bit older. You left school, and then what happened? Because you got to the ministry somewhere. Did you have a job before you came to the ministry, or
no?
No.
So my secondary education is where I think I had a spark, you know, that if you want to say, if you'd like to, that spark. I think I was in about Form 3, thereabout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my contact and my involvement with the Scripture Union, because in school,
mm-hmm.
in secondary school, you would have different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So each one would join any club that they wanted. But
mm-hmm.
I chose to affiliate myself with the Scripture Union. So we would have, you know, like, you know, there I enjoyed, you know, like the singing that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
There was a teacher who would play his guitar. So I just fenced that.
Mm.
And the Bible stories, of course. So that from there was a spark in me to say, it drew me into, maybe not into ministry, but into deeper, into some commitment in terms of my faith. I just said, I love God. I felt loving God and loving Jesus from that, you know.
Wonderful. So yeah, that's where the faith really kind of settled. And did you go to church regularly, weekly, or was that part of the family life?
If that would be part of family life, especially influenced by my mother, because my mother was a devout, really Christian. She was a devout, you know, very much involved with the. At one time, she was also a steward in the church, but with the Women's Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
She inspired me so much, very much.
Right.
That she, are you coming today? Are you coming? So I would be. Okay. It started like following her.
Yeah.
Going for her until such time when I had my personal commitment.
Right. Yeah. That's good. And when you went to Sunday school and church and things, what was it about those things that really grabbed you? That the Bible, the readings, the singing, what was it about them that really kind of moved that little spark into a flame, if you like?
Yes, yes. So from there, you know, the singing in Sunday school, I remember one chorus which was in Sunday school. Joy, joy, joy. There is joy in the Sunday school. So joy. For me, to sing about joy, it's something that I just felt it has to be part of me. Because, you know, just to desire. You know, to desire that joy in oneself and around. So in Sunday school, that chorus vividly rings in my head, singing about joy.
We all need a lot of joy at the moment.
Yes,
we
yeah.
certainly do. So that's good. So you, Sunday school, everything else. And then how did it work that you ended up going into the ministry?
So ending my journey into the ministry was then, there used to be, now I was in a rural setting. I said my early childhood was in town.
Mm-hmm.
So when my father retired, so we moved to the rural, you know, rock in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to receive, you know, a minister who was the superintendent of, you know, the larger circuit. So he would come to the rural to visit, you know, our church to preach and things. So as a young boy, well, young man or young boy, okay, I would be asked, like, you know, to sort of accompany him or maybe carry his bags to the bus as he was go to the bus stop, you know. Some of these things that I enjoy to do.
Mm.
So it's courteous, you know, in our culture, you know, to give a hand or to help. Give help.
Yeah.
So I would carry his bag to the bus stop when he was going back, you know, to town. So that became a point where I said, this man, what is doing? I think I like what he's doing. I think I just fell in love with him.
Yeah,
with his profession, although I didn't understand, but I just felt I want to be like what he's doing. So then later on, then he would address young people, those people who had left school, to say, anyone, actually the process of getting into ministry. If anyone desires, I mean, feels called to go to the ministry, he explained all that to us. And then clandestine, or like, you know, the Nicodemus, I had to go. You say, so what do I do? I want to be a minister. He explained that to me. Then,
and, yeah,
the whole process started.
So it started. So you were ordained in the church in Zimbabwe.
Yes. Yeah.
And you served in the church in Zimbabwe for about 10 years. Is it? Am I right? Or
so my ordination was 2000. So I served from 2000 up to 2010.
I guess
in
so.
Zimbabwe. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And then you were doing things in youth ministry, weren't you, in Zimbabwe? I seem to remember.
Yes,
what was that all about?
Yeah. So what I was doing is I was appointed by the Methodist Church Zimbabwe Conference to be the youth director of the Connection. So which meant that I worked with young people very closely in terms of being at connectional level, which meant I would be responsible for at least ensuring that the whole connection is supporting the work of young people and children's ministries. So we would put in place things like, you know, training programs for Sunday school teachers, for youth leaders, you know, just to equip them, to encourage them, to empower them.
Right.
So it meant I would be at a level of organizing or planning mm-hmm. youth work.
Great.
But while least, of course, locally, I'll be involved like, you know, youth camps mm. with young people, youth conferences, mm. and things like that.
Yeah. So before we get you to this country, because we'll get there in a second, yeah. Let's have a bit about family. How did you and Nomata meet?
Yes, so Nomata was also a youth. She was also a youth member, mm-hmm. but elsewhere, mm-hmm. in the same circuit, but different, you know, church.
Church, yeah.
For that matter, even distance, quite mm-hmm. a distance, because mm-hmm. I'm talking of about 20 miles.
Yeah.
So we would meet at youth gatherings, you know, youth mm-hmm. conventions, these youth conferences. Then one time I just spotted that young girl,
mm-hmm.
and I just, you know, yeah. I eyed her, and then the chase started.
The chase. Okay.
And interestingly, it would be writing letters. Then sometimes the letter was not replied to. That girl has not replied my letter until I got a reply.
Yeah.
Which was positive to say yes.
Good.
Then everything started from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously you had children and you've moved out here.
So we had children.
UK from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What brought you to the UK?
So to the UK, I never dreamt of myself honestly coming to serve in the UK, because for me, I was just a person there. So the structure in the Methodist Church in Zimbabwe is such that appointments are just by stationing. One is just sent.
Mm.
So it happened that there was need for a minister to come and, you know, serve the Methodist people of Zimbabwean origin,
right,
who are here in the diaspora. Right. So then an appointment was started actually in 2005 to 2010. So we saw the first minister who came to serve as a chaplain mm-hmm. of the Methodist Zimbabweans mm-hmm. who live in the UK. So he came and served his term up to 2010. So then 2010, there was another vacancy when this my predecessor was coming back mm-hmm. to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Then the conference from nowhere picked my name and mm-hmm. appointed me and seconded me mm-hmm. to come and serve as a chaplain.
Cold UK.
Yes. So then that's how I found myself coming to the UK in 2010,
mm-hmm.
in my first appointment as chaplain to Zimbabweans who mm-hmm. live in the UK, who are Methodists.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So you travelled and you're now here. And obviously you felt called to stay because just 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, two or three years ago, you were brought into full connection in the British Methodist Church, which is wonderful for us, a loss to Zimbabwe, but wonderful for us. So what would you say was your hope for the future?
Yeah, so hope for the for me, hope for the future is that I think there was a shift in my understanding of ministry. Because as I came, I thought, well, in me, I was saying, oh, I've been sent to go and serve and work with the Methodist of Zimbabwean origin.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I continue to reflect, actually from John Wesley, who says, the world is my parish, for me, honestly, I had a shift, a complete shift to understanding ministry as in honestly serving God's people,
mm-hmm.
wherever I am. Was initially, I thought I would return, I would go back to Zimbabwe. But until I found quite some comfort, actually, with the hospitality that I experienced within the Methodist Church in Britain. So I said, isn't this home? Because mm-hmm. I was saying I would go back home. But then, with my early childhood experience of home moving, that experience of home that kept moving and moving, mm-hmm. I found myself really established. But here is also home. Mm-hmm. This is home, yes.
Good.
So everyone around me is also family. So I said to myself, isn't this maybe God giving me another call, another dimension to my calling? Then I reflected on it. I prayed about it. And my conviction was to seek for permission to transfer from the Zimbabwean Methodist Conference,
mm-hmm.
to offer myself to be a minister,
mm-hmm.
within the Methodist Church in Britain, and hence I was received into Full Connection.
Wonderful.
And I'm happily part of the family, and I'm at home.
You're at home.
Home, yes.
Good. Just a little cooler.
Yeah,
than Zimbabwe.
Home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, what, Adam? What makes you angry? What makes you angry? You're always so happy.
Yeah.
We've always. But what makes you angry?
What makes me angry is when I feel that things are not happening. Because there's a point in me that I feel, because I just wish, for me, I just, you know, envision things just moving for the best and smoothly for everyone. Mm. But when I observe things maybe not moving that way, I honestly feel very sad. I feel sad. Especially conflict. Things like conflict and, you know, discord just makes me feel sad and really angry. I just want to see things, you know, happening.
Understandably.
Yeah.
And you'll be pleased to know I've only got a few more questions to come your way, although we could talk about this all day.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Have you got a favourite Bible passage? Everybody seems to have something, or usually has something, that really speaks to them and has kind of sustained them through their life, through their calling, through their spark becoming a flame. Have you got a favorite Bible passage?
Yes, I've got a favorite Bible passage, which is from Job chapter 19, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think I just want to highlight again that it's about conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that passage where Job says, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sometimes it's knowledge, but it has to translate into conviction.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of faith, our Christian journey and experience, it needs to take us where we have that to really admit and understand that, you know, God lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if God lives, then he is our source of strength, our source of joy, our source of everything, because he lives.
So there's an awful lot riding on that word
know,
isn't it?
Yes.
I know that my Redeemer lives. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
And a favorite hymn?
My favorite hymn is Blessed Assurance.
Uh-huh.
Jesus is mine.
Yeah.
Especially the chorus, which goes like, this is my story. This is my song.
Mm-hmm.
All day long. Praising my Savior. So for me, in that hymn, I'm enthused in that, you know, it's not someone's story. It is my story.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I begin to talk about my life journey, my experience, my faith, there is no one who can be better placed to talk about it other than myself. So in that hymn, this is my story, this is my song.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to share my story and my song with everyone.
Well, thank you for sharing your story and song with us today.
Yeah.
One last question. It's a little one.
Yeah.
What does resurrection mean to you?
Resurrection, in short and in summary, is just about the new life that we experience through the risen Christ, because we cannot get it, we cannot attain it outside the risen Christ himself. So resurrection is based on the risen Christ, who then gives us that life in him and through him. And then we are made a new creation.
Amen. Thank you very much, Adam.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bless you.